And Jesus said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" When I was first ordained a priest, I served as associate rector at St. Barnabas Episcopal Church in Irvington, New York, a northern suburb of New York City. And the rector at the time was Father Charlie Caldwell, and he'd served there for many, many years, and he always insisted on being called Charlie. That was it, just Charlie. And I was fortunate to train with this wise and seasoned priest, and I know you have a Charlie in your church and your history as well. And as a new priest, I was so eager to do things right. What's the proper procedure at the communion table? How do I make an effective home visit? Who's going to serve as a Sunday school teacher? There was so much to learn, and I wanted to pick Charlie's brain and benefit from his years of experience. And then one day during supervision, Charlie said, "The most important thing you can do as priest is listen to people's stories and be willing to reflect on your own story as well. Be willing to listen to people's stories and reflect on your own story as well." And then he went on to ask if I'd be willing to share my spiritual story at the next storytelling dinner. Now, this is something he had started many years before. It was a quarterly event. And basically what would happen is some member of the parish would open up their home and invite up to 30 people, first come, first served on a list, invite them to their home, prepare a nice dinner that the participants would pay for. And then at dessert, another member of the parish would basically tell their spiritual story. And there was no rules for this. The only rule was tell your story. And the whole group would just listen quietly without interruption. And the person would be as long or as short as they wanted it to be. And then at the end, there was silence. And then Charlie would always ask the group, "Where can you resonate with this person's story? What are the connecting points to your own story?" And then the storyteller would listen as the group shared what they heard and what it meant to them in light of their own experience. So I agreed to share my spiritual story at the next storytelling dinner, and it was an amazing experience. From the beginning of preparing it to the end, I had to think about what from my story did I want to share? What constitutes a spiritual story? I had to trust that those present would listen without judgment. And I needed to listen to the feedback that I got from the people. And this was a wonderful community builder and one of the strongest ministries that the church offered. And I think that's what makes recovery groups like AA so powerful. People tell their stories, and they listen to the stories of others, and they experience healing. Today's scripture lessons are all about telling your spiritual story. In the reading from the Acts of the Apostles, which we don't have before us today, Peter tells a large crowd the story of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, and in response, we're told that 3,000 souls were baptized that day. They were baptized because of a story, not because of an ideology. In Luke's gospel lesson, two disciples are walking along the road telling their story when a stranger approaches and asks if they'll share their story with him. They do so, and in the process, they encounter the risen Lord. Sharing the gospel is not about ramming an idea down someone's throat. It's not about insisting allegiance to a doctrine or a creed. Sharing the gospel means sharing your story, listening to the stories of others, and then finding connections with God's ongoing story of grace and redemption. So in today's gospel lesson from Luke, Cleopas, we don't know anything about Cleopas, first time he's mentioned, and another disciple are walking on the way to Emmaus. It's Easter, the first day of the week, and they're grieving the events of the past several days. Now, scholars don't know where Emmaus is or why they were heading there, but symbolically speaking, it was walking away from Jerusalem, away from the traumatic events of the past week, away from Israel and her people. And at this moment for these disciples, nothing is clear, nothing is as it should be. A movement that held so much promise is on the verge of being snuffed out. It's not a story they want to tell. Jesus appears to them, but they don't recognize him. He asks them, "What are you discussing while you walk along?" They're invited to tell their story, but it says that there's a silence. And I get the sense that they're weighing, do I really want to tell this story? Do I really want to share with a stranger the events that have happened? It would be so much easier to remain silent, to make surface conversation, to avoid opening their hearts and minds to this fellow traveler. You might know the feeling. Finally, Cleopas says, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" You can almost hear them taking a deep breath, trying to decide whether to tell the terrible story or not. But the man seems genuinely interested. What things? So Cleopas and the other disciple talk about Jesus, what he meant to them, how he was a prophet, mighty in deed and power, how just this past week he'd been handed over to death and was crucified, how disappointed they were since they thought that Jesus was the Messiah, how astounded they were because some of Jesus' other followers claimed that the body was missing and that he's now alive. They tell the story with as much detail and honesty as they can. Then Jesus says to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" And then he interprets the events of his life through Hebrew scripture. And I find it almost humorous that Cleopas and his companion don't get it. What stranger could speak so authoritatively about the events of Holy Week? But apparently they're not ready to perceive Jesus, or Jesus is not ready to be perceived. The story is not over. So they reach their destination, and I love this. It says, Jesus prepares to go on, and I think he really would have gone on. I don't think this was a ploy. He would have kept walking, but the disciples urged him to stay with them, to eat some supper, to get some rest before continuing his journey. Hospitality. They invited him to the table. And so Jesus accepts their invitation, and he sits down to eat with them. And Luke writes, when he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us? These two disciples shared their story with Jesus. Jesus listened and then interpreted the story in light of God's larger story of grace and redemption. And they continued the story, the shared story, by sharing a meal together, a glimmer of the Holy Eucharist, and then they perceived the Lord. Luke tells us that immediately the two ran back to Jerusalem, even though it was late, and found the other disciples. But before they could even say what happened to them, the other disciples were already buzzing about their own experience. The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon. And then Cleopas and his companion share what happened on the road, how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. And if you notice in Scripture, if you look at the New Testament, from that point on, the disciples continue to share the story, not only with themselves, not only with their friends, but throughout Jerusalem and the surrounding areas. And before long, the early church is born from a story. The church, God willing, continues to be a place where we can tell our stories. Listen to the stories of others and interpret these stories in light of Scripture. And in the process, we discover that stories can heal. Stories can transmit truth across generations. You know this with your family. When you sit down with your grandchildren, you say, I remember when I first met your mother. And suddenly, that truth is transmitted across the ages. Stories can bridge the gap between ideology and the heart. And this brings me to a great concern I have today, which is we seem to be talking past one another in our discourse. I try to convince you of my ideas. You try to convince me of yours. Fearful of the vulnerability of personal stories, we stick with ideology, and in the process, we fail to perceive the Christ within one another. We shout past one another, and no one is healed, and no one is changed. I'm not sure if you've seen this yet, but on social media, Heineken has released a new ad series in Europe. And here's the premise. It's actually fascinating. Two people are ushered into a room and they're given instructions to build something together. And in the process, they talk a bit and they start to get to know each other. Trust is established. And after that happens, a screen comes down from the ceiling and they see a recording of each of them talking passionately about a strongly held belief. So for one duo, it might be about feminism. For another duo, it's climate change. For another one, it's human sexuality. And as they stand there watching the video, they realize that they are diametrically opposed in their beliefs. Enemies, if you will. And then the people who run this experiment give them a choice. They can either leave the room and end the conversation, or they can have a beer together, of course Heineken, and they can talk things out. And guess what? In almost every case, people choose to have a beer together and talk it out. What's interesting is that this connection causes them to tell their stories, and it sheds light on who they are, why they believe what they do. The stories play a bridging function. And they may hold totally different views on a topic. They may not agree with each other. But by hearing each other's stories, they have context. And they see the other person as a human being and not someone to be neutralized. Your story matters. There's a reason why you hold the views you do and why you make the choices you make. But it's never meant to be a private story. It's meant to be shared. And when we share our stories, we take a risk. We become the beloved community that God intends, but we have to take a risk and be vulnerable. And when we share our stories in light of God's story of grace and redemption, we can find ways to change our story, to go in a new direction that's no longer working for us. Jesus asks us, what are you discussing as you walk along? Share your story and watch as Christ is revealed in places and situations that you never imagined. Amen.